Father, we bless your glorious name. We worship and we adore you, Lord. Glory be to your name, Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going of the day, thy name, O Father, be praised in all the places of your dominion. At the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, every name bowing of things in, of beings in heaven and of beings on earth and of beings below. For God has highly exalted him and given a name above every name, as it may be in heaven and on earth in every place. Lord, we thank you and we bless your name, Lord. And this name has been given unto us to overcome all things. In my name, we cast out devils. Take up serpents, Bible says, you know, speak in new tongues, you know, lay hand on the sick and they shall recover. And what I shall ask the Father in my name, I, Jesus, said, I will do it, he said. Lord, we thank you. We worship and we adore you, Lord, that you give this name unto us. Thank you, Father. As we read your word this morning, Lord, Father, I bless it, Father. We ask in that glorious holy name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. So we want to turn to Luke 21, 25th verse to 28. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads. For your redemption, dread nine. What a time we are living in that these things are getting fulfilled. And, you know, just as the Bible says in that verse, men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the path of heaven shall be shaken. We see the nations aligning. What is even happening now in Ukraine, border and so on, it's prophetic in a, you know, in a sense, you know. The alignment is making itself alive again. The Eastern Bloc, right? The Eastern Bloc, and then the NATO Bloc, and so forth. You know, they are prophesying. You know, they are fulfilling prophecy one way or the other. You know, so you see Putin and the Russia, the kings of the East, cutting the Euphrates at the end of time. The Bible says it will be so. You know, so we see the Putin and the other king of, I mean, the king of the East, the Chinese people, and so on, lying together. The Western Bloc abandoning, abandoning the, you know, the Olympic over there and so on. Anyway, it just tells you that what time we are living in and so on, you know. So the king of the East are getting ready. And they are boasting too, you know. And the China even challenging the US and so on. Over Taiwan or whatever it is and so on. If they allow Taiwan to continue to do what it's doing, to claim its independence and whatever, say there will be war, you know. I mean, Chinese, when the Chinese go to be like that, Bible said they will show at the end of time. But we know the end game, really. Anyway, so, you know, from this scripture, look at the song we were singing just before, you know, the last song about it. Don't fear, right? So this morning, overcoming fear, that's the message, overcoming fear, you know. Looking at all these things happening in the world, the fear of the economy, the fear of wars and rumors of wars. We don't know what Putin will do tomorrow. We don't know what US will do tomorrow. And the economy, the pestilences and so on, that, you know. And the Lord said, we are looking at that time right now, you know. And and the Lord told us right there, he said, for the elect of God, the time of rejoicing, really, you know. So this morning, overcoming fear. There are so many fears in the world today. Now, let's lay a foundation here, you know. The first thing that the child of God should know that will be helpful to us in overcoming fear is to know that it does not come from God. Once you have that in your mind, that fear doesn't come from God, then you are on your way to freedom from fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says so. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Even fear is a spirit, isn't it? You know, according to the word of God. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Yeah, the Bible established, even by looking at the events of the earth, men are filled for fear and it's happening. That's mm-hmm. and the letter and some of that, you know. So anyway, so doesn't come from God. So that will give us a solid ground to stand
yes.
against fear and so on. Does it belong to the child of God? Secondly, we find that throughout the scriptures, you know, the Lord commanded the people not to be afraid, no matter what confronted them. And I want to go through some of them, and you know, even when an angelic being appear, or even the Lord himself appear, the Lord will tell us not to be afraid. Let's see the Bible and see who, in so many ways where it said that. So in Genesis 15, here was a 75-year-old man, childless, supposed to be a man of God, right? He was childless. Maybe had been mocked by the neighbors and so on. He was worried all that he had. You know, he became religious. All that he had will go to this Syrian. You know, his servant. He has no. His servant will be his ear. And yes, despite the situation, what did God tell him? So in Genesis 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not. You see that? Yeah, I know you are 75 years old, don't have any child, you are worried about who will be your heir. Don't worry about Abraham and so on. It was Abraham at that time. Say, fear not. Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward, he said. And right there, the next verse or so, he promised him, you know, that you're going to actually have a child. So, about your condition, don't be afraid. I'm with you. That was what he was telling Abraham, the type of the elect, right? You know, now, let's see more. That's in the Bible. There was a one widow of Zarephath. All of a sudden, a rugged man, you know, and so appeared to her. There was a great famine in the land, you know, and he was just going to get some firewood or whatever to cook the last meal they have in the house, and they told they will die. So she said and told that, you know. And yet this man that she saw was asking her to go ahead and bring all that, go and bake me a cake out of the last meal you have. Don't even care about my little child and so on. But here the word of God, you know, not to fear. In 1 Kings 17, you know, the widow of Zarephath, right, verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, I know it's your last meal, do not fear. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee, and for thy son. And we know the story, that's fear, don't fear, even though it's the last meal, right? I mean, God leave it, I have just said the law, just do what I told you, and so obey the word of God, all is well, you know? So I'm telling you, all about the scripture, don't fear, let's see some of them, we are God, under all conditions. I mean, fear doesn't come from God, right? Yes, out of his people, not to fear. Now, there was a time, another prophet that followed this Elijah, by the name of Elisha, all of a sudden, word has gotten to the Syrians, because no matter what they are doing, they think that it's a spy among them, that spy for the Israelites. Then one say, oh, look, there is no spy here. There was one seer there, by the name of Elisha of Dothan, you know. Whatever you are doing, God reveal it to him right from here. Oh, go get him and so on. Instead the horses and chariots of horses and so forth. And the servants of Elisha woke up one morning and see all the places where they were surrounded, you know. And now, room for fear, right? I mean, only two of you, right, with the Syrian horses, right, and army and so on. What happened in 2 Kings 6:16? And Elisha answered, fear not, you see that? Despite all the whole surrounding them, two of them, right? They don't have anybody, they don't have any arrow, right? You know? He said, fear not. So, under all conditions, fear not, he said. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. See? So, I know. Now, another king, a godly king of Judah, by the name of Jehoshaphat, all of a sudden, all the people, that when Israel was crossing over, they won't attack them and so on. Nations around them now, all of them, there come a report that this tremendous army and so on are coming. They outnumber them, both in number of heads and army, and they have superior weapons and so forth, you know. What are we going to do? And so on, you know. And they need to seek the Lord. That's a prophecy, just seek the Lord and so on. Despite the situation, 2 Chronicles 20:17, what is the word of the Lord today? Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Look at it. Fear not. Despite all the hosts that are in there. Fear not, you know. Nor be dismayed that tomorrow you go out against them. For the Lord will be with you, you know. Everywhere we see. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Jeremiah the prophet and so on. Coming the weeping prophet, right? At one time, in Lamentations 3:57, he said, thou dwellest near in the day. He was in one kind of trouble. He drew near, did not do near the day that he called upon the Lord. What the Lord tell him, no matter what, Jeremiah, fear not. See? That's Lamentation in 3:57. You know, say fear not. We are looking at all circumstances. Number one, it doesn't come from God. Number two, all the while God encourages people not to fear. God doesn't, it's not of me really. Now, when Israel thought that they will never return for their captivity, they were taken captive to all nations because of their sins, right? That their punishment each time they sin against the law, God will get out of their land, scatter them and so on now. But you and I are living in an age. The last dispersion has taken place. They will never be scattered anymore, you know. They've come to stay now, you know. Anyway, so now, they will think they will never come back again. And see what the Lord will tell them in Jeremiah 46:27. You know, I mean, but fear not thou, O my servant Jacob. And be not dismayed, though you are scattered in all over the place, you know, and you think you can't come back, do not fear. Maybe in captivity, don't fear, but fear not thou, O my servant Jacob. And be not dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save thee from afar off, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return without fail, and be in rest, and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. See, that's what I prayed again, you know. Another prophecy, and so on, Isaiah 43, verse 5, said the same thing. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. So, in every situation, God will command you not to be afraid. Call God with it. So, Daniel the prophet, I've been seeking the Lord for 21 days, you know, and concerning his people, he was jealous about the land, concerning his people and so on, was seeking the Lord. Look, like the answer will never come, right? You know, I mean, he didn't give up, you know, he didn't give up, you know, I mean, he didn't say, oh, I've been here for, no, just keep on going. I trust Daniel. Even if at the end of the 21 days, the answer is that we still continue. It was just in him to be like that, you know. He was a prophet, and so he knew the Lord and so on, you know. He studied the prophets before him. He read Jeremiah the prophet. He knew how much longer they have to be in captivity, you know, for them to go back to Palestine. He knew all those things and so forth. Nothing could move him at all, you know. Anyway, so, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in Daniel, the 10th chapter, verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were hard. Just like the Lord told us, when you pray, right, believe that you receive. That's not what you see. Praise the Lord. The same thing, the same Jehovah God of the Old Testament, which was to Daniel, is who will appear to you and I, who is living in you today by the Holy Ghost, telling you the same thing. When you pray, believe that you receive. That's not what you see. When you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have it, and so on, you know. And he said that here, that what do I have? And I'm come for thy words. Verse 19 says, and then again, all over the place, to the same prophet, and so on, at the same time, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Say the same thing to you today. Peace I live with you, right? My peace I give unto you. The same Lord Jesus, and so on, you know. And so, unto thee. Be strong now. Don't give up. Don't scatter yourself. And so be strong. Yes. Be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. So it's what to you today. In the Bible, I speak to you. Volumes of books will now have more promises than Daniel had, right? Why children will be more joyful, you know, in our own time. We saw cloud of witnesses. The Bible says cloud of witnesses. Go and look at Hebrews 11 for a peek, you know, of the exploits that God's children by the Holy Spirit who dwelleth in you, you know, and they were written for example there and so, you know, the same Jesus is in you to do so much great exploits. So we see Daniel right there, God and telling him, do not be afraid and so on. And there was a childless priest by the name of Zechariah, you know, in the New Testament and so on. It turned out to be his time to be in the temple and to do the priestly office and so on, that you know. Of course, the Gabriel appeared to him and so on, that you know, in Luke chapter 1. No, even childless and so on, he was just going about his ministerial business and so on. The angel appeared to him to fulfill the prophecy that had been given by 700 years before, you know, by Sarah the prophet and so on, that you know, that I be the messenger to go before the face of the Messiah will come. So this Gabriel has come to announce that the time has come now, you know, and Zechariah didn't know anything about it. Anyway, in verse Luke 1:13, but the angel said unto him, to Zechariah, fear not, Zechariah, you know, for thy prayer is heard. You see, everywhere your prayer is heard, whether you see it or not, doesn't make any difference, you know. Your prayer, the joy shall live by faith. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. God says so, and I believe it, and it is done. Amen. Amen. Praise. Forget about the timing. Timing belongs to God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, know that prayer, you know, is hard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Like I said, the key thing, don't fear. And show through this description, everywhere God will say fear not, we establish by the scripture that fear is never of God. Then we show many, many places here where God will tell his people not to be fear. When the situation calls for fear, really, because you are of God, you need not to be afraid. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. When the natural man, in the national life, you know, be afraid. But as a child of God, you don't have to. Now, an unusual salutation. A maiden, a virgin, received an unusual salutation and a promise of an unprecedented event. Never occurred before and will never occur again. You know, her name was Mary in Luke 1:30 and so on. And what an unusual salutation was that, you know? And what an unprecedented event has to occur in her life and so on. And what did the angel say in Luke 1:30? And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, you see? For thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. So you see what I'm saying here? Everywhere, fear not. Whether the angel of the Lord appear, fear not. If the angel of the Lord appear, and God said don't fear, why are God children fearing Satan? You see what I'm saying? Even God Almighty has died, so don't be afraid, right? So anyway, so we see that right here. Even the shepherds, you know, who are at night watching over their sheep, you know, at that time of the incarnation to be announced and so on in Luke chapter 2 verse 10. And, you know, the first thing, when the angel of the Lord appeared to them, the first thing they will tell them is this, in Luke 2:10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, see, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So we see, everywhere. Now, Apostle Paul, on the way to Rome, for 14 days or so, you know, there was no, I mean, it was so dark, a terrible storm, and so on, that, you know, over the Mediterranean, you know, and for 2 weeks, and so on, that, you know, there was no, you couldn't even see the sun, no stars night, no sun during the day, I mean, all hope that they should be saved was lost. The Bible says, it said they lost all hope to be saved, and so on, that, you know, and what happened? The child of God was there, and he was there with 275 other people. All together, 276 souls, you know, ready to perish unless something divine intervention happened to them, right? But what happened? You know, the angel of the Lord said in 27th of Acts, verse 24, saying unto Paul, say the angel of the Lord appeared to you. Give me a report now. Say the angel of the Lord appeared to you. Say, fear not, Paul. You see, despite the situation, you know, 275 souls ready to perish. Now he said, fear not, Paul. For thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that say with thee. So give it to Paul, one man, and so on. That's all it takes. A man that believes God, right? And so on, you know, you save yourself, not only yourself, but people are around you, you know. So we see, you can go on through the scriptures, and when the God of glory appear at the eye called Patmos, you know, to a persecuted, apostle, sent there to die, you know, and something like that, you know. When the God of glory appeared to him, the first thing he told him in Revelation chapter 1 verse 17 was, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. The same one that appeared to Daniel and so on, you know, the implicated state and so on, appeared to Brother John. The same message, the same Lord, the same message, fear not. We can go and spend the whole day showing the scripture. We are over and over again, God saying, fear not. No matter what is our circumstances, no matter what it is, no matter how perilous it may be, no matter how dark it may look, like in the darkness of pot over the Mediterranean, doesn't make a difference, you know. God being with us, amen, and He's with us. We don't have to fear anything by the word of the Lord. Now, so having said all those things, we established that fear is never from God. 2 Timothy says to that all, and that everywhere God is commanding us not to fear. Now let's see the effects of fear. Why God will still not to fear? What are the effects of fear? Number one, fear draws disaster to its victims. Yes, fear draws disaster to its victims. We're talking about overcoming fear, right? It draws disaster to its victims. Nowhere is this fact better illustrated than in the life of Job. Even right from the oldest literature we know of in the old wide world, as far as we know, the oldest literature in the Bible, oldest literature we know of in the old wide world, this truth is established. We are saying that fear will draw disaster to its victims. So the earliest verses of the book of Job reveal the terrible things that happened to Job. You know, let's kind of summarize here. I'm not going to read the other thing. Before we know it, in Job 1:14, the Sabians stole all his oxen and asses overnight. You know, before you know it, as far as this man knew, he had done nothing wrong, right? Overnight, all the oxen were gone. In verse 16, lightning destroyed his sheep as well as his servants. Just one after the other. Before you know it, in verse 17, the Chaldeans took his camels away. Just before you know it, verse 18, the tornado blew, using our modern language now, blew down the house, killing his sons and daughters. I think that's not enough. In verse 7, Job 2:7, festering boils broke out all over his body. And if that was not even enough, in frustration, in verse 9 of chapter 2, his wife encouraged him to curse God and die. You know, see, and the final blow came when in Job 3:11, his friends gathered around him, not to comfort him, but to even accuse him. That's the situation, you see. So, we are saying that fear draws disaster to a victim. Now, why it is evident that the primary cause of Job's misery was the devil? We know that that's the primary cause, right? We are told that Job opened the door of opportunity to Satan to have done that to him. How did he do it? Scripture tells us in the third chapter of the same book, the 25th verse, for the thing which I greatly fear, that is the key, that is the key, is come upon me, he said, and that which I was afraid of is come upon me. You see, yeah, the devil was the messenger, was the tool, and so on, so on. But fear, he opened the door for fear, right? So fear draws disaster to its victims. That's why the Lord warns us against it. Don't let it get the better of you under any circumstances. Don't let it happen, that you know. Now, fear torments. The Bible tells us fear torments. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casted out fear, because fear has a torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, the Bible says. And another terrible thing about fear is a killer. And that's even where I open this morning. It's a killer. Luke 21:25 says, and there shall be signs and so on, that you know. Verse 26 says, Luke 21, men's hearts failing them for fear. So fear is a killer. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the path of heaven shall be taken. No wonder the Lord said, don't fear, because it's a killer on his own and so on. Indeed, there are fears that can destroy a person's will to live. Yeah, fear can do that. We destroy a person's will to live. Or even your ability to take action against the devil, if you allow him, you know. So, allowing fear into one's life closes the windows of heaven and swings wide open the gates of hell. Fear will do that, you know. If we do that, if you allow it to happen, yeah, you know, it will close the windows of heaven on you and then swings wide open the gates of hell. So fear is a horrible and terrible emotion, you know, and we should obey the word of the Lord and just take mastery of it. Now, what I haven't said all this about fear, following are some of the numerous type of fear. Let's pick some of them. There are many of them, but this morning let's just pick some of them and see how we overcome them too, you know. Following are some of the numerous types of fear that attach themselves to mankind, and how the character of God can overcome them. Indeed, a Christian that knows his privileges in Christ has nothing to fear, really. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. In Christ Jesus, we have nothing to fear. You know, when we know our standing and so on. Now, let's go through them. Fear of the devil. It's one of them. You know, Christian fearing the devil. Fear of the devil. That's one of them. So, given all that Christ has brought for us in the redemption, you and I don't have to fear Satan whatsoever. In fact, we said one time here in a message, Satan exposed, right? And we see how all the power he has this day is the power we give to him. He's a deceiver, right? That's all the power he has, you know, to the child of God as well. I don't allow him. So when you stand on God's word, the devil doesn't have a chance against you at all. And there are so many, many scriptures. In Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us, meaning the Lord Jesus, has delivered us from the power of darkness. So what are we afraid of about Satan then? From power of darkness. And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. In Luke 10:19, the Lord said, Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Whatever power you stand had, God has empowered you and I, power over whatever Satan will take in half and so on. You know, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, as you keep the word of God. That's the promise of the living God to you and I. And in Mark 16:17, and this time shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. So all the satanic messengers, where you to do is dirty and ugly work, are these demons and so on. Bible can give you power over them to cast them out, even, you know. And in James 4:7, we are told, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, but Christians flee from the devil. Bible says the devil will flee from you when you resist him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you have to, you know. The mistake God shouldn't make is this. That will go on their own. You can't do that, you know. You have to go against him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then you have no option. You have to flee, you know. So we see that right here. So we don't have to be afraid of the devil and so on. Now, don't forget this. The Almighty God is resident in you and I as a child of God. You see, that's why Christianity is not a religion. It's God Almighty living in the redeemed, you know. And in fact, that is the whole subject of God living in you and so on. So God is resident in you and me as a Christian, and thus makes you greater than the devil, you know, himself and so on. That is 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we know in the world, the devil, the Bible calls it the God of this world. As in 2 Corinthians 4:4, I believe that's where it is. The God of this world, right? So anyway, the Lord Jesus in you is greater than the devil is in the world. So why is the fear of the devil there? You know, and the Lord is there, you see, you know, it's in you, it's in you. So the Lord Jesus is permanently with you, is staying with you permanently. That's what he told you, you know, he's with you all the time, not sometimes. You know, in Matthew 28:20, the last word that he said here, towards the end of that verse, no, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, or if you like, to the end of the age. That is the same thing, you know. So no, it won't be with you today, and tomorrow it will not be with you. No. To the end of the world, the Lord say, I'm with you always. Even in Hebrews 13, the 5th verse, towards the end. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So what do we need? All we need is here, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all we need. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now, that's part of the devil. You can just... Now, another fear that people, that great people, even God's children, is the fear of the unknown. What shall be tomorrow? That's another kind of fear, right? Should we be overtaken by this kind of fear as a child of God? Not really. Mankind tends to have a morbid curiosity about the future, you know. And even many of God's people are not exempted from this fear, you know. And well, while some curiosity, about the future may be normal, and even healthy, if it is normalized, be healthy and so on, it becomes deadly when it is combined with fear of the unknown. When the element of fear comes in there, it becomes deadly. Yeah, fear is a killer, So like we have said before, So the word of God gives us powerful weapons against the fear of the unknown. God promises he will not act in this world without first of all revealing his plan to his prophet, And that is in Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secrets unto his servant, the prophet. And throughout all the Bible, history and the Bible and so on, even in the modern age, God has done exactly that, in the Bible, he told us what it's going to be. And, if you want to know the future, read the word of God, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He told us everything about the future, no matter what. No other book in the whole world does that. They are all perverted. They are all, they are just superstition. But the word of God gives us clarity. What shall be hereafter? He told many prophecies, what shall be hereafter, He told brethren, out of Patmos. What has shortly come to pass, he said, and they are happening right now. Look at Ukraine, look at what's happening in all the area of the world and so on, They are happening right now before our eyes, So, the word of God contains what the future holds. And we have sent many, many prophets who expand to us by revelation the word of God. They say that God brought more revelation of what had been written before to us. So we know what is going to be hereafter. He has revealed it to us and so on. We are not in darkness. We are children of light, He said to Abraham, will God hide anything from Abraham? He said, when Sodom was to go up in flame, he appeared to Abraham, right? The same thing has shown us at the end of time, what shall be. We know pretty soon, the actual research will take place. Pretty soon we know that will be the great tribulation come. They are going to come the great day of the Lord. There are going to be the trumpets. There are going to be vile judgments and so on. Armageddon will follow. And then we will follow by the, by the millennium and so on. So we know all those things that are coming. So the child of God will know the future by the word of God. So what are we afraid by the future? Anyway, God promised to work out all things for your good, for my benefit, for my good, by the future and so on. He gave us the promise in Romans 8:27. And we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So no matter what, even things which have gone, wrong in your life, or something you have made a mistake, it doesn't matter. As you love the Lord, the Bible says, I will make it work together for good for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what is lost? Nothing. Nothing is lost, In the providence of God, nothing is lost. So he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the all-sufficient one, the omnipotent one. And he's in you, he's in me to work out all things for your benefit. 31 verse 8, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Talking about the unknown future and so on, the future is revealed to us in some way, to some extent, so the Lord said we do all these things for us. Now, placing our full confidence in the word of God, we quickly drive out the fear of the unknown. When we rest solely upon the word of God, that will quickly drive out the fear of the unknown. Psalm 37 verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Brethren, God knows exactly what is going to happen next. And he plans to make your future a good one. In fact, many times, the trouble has done many things for us. Yeah, praise the Lord. But he even say he will do even do greater things for us. Eyes have not seen, and heart has not heard. Neither has he entered to the heart of any man. What thing the Lord has in store for them that love him? But by his spirit he has revealed some of them to us already. So we have a bright future In fact, the brightest of all creatures, as children of God. Praise the Lord. Know why Jeremiah the prophet wrote to us in 39th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thought of peace, see that, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. In Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. What are you afraid about the unknown for? Or that what is not, what is unknown to you as a child of God? Take no thought, meaning have no anxiety. You can plan for tomorrow. You can plan. You have to plan to go to work tomorrow, right? You have to plan your work, but don't have anxiety. That's what he's saying here. Take no therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Oh, how many anxiety would have really saved ourselves from if we just obey this simple instruction of the Lord. Amen. The thing we worry about and so on. We won't even do anything about it on ourselves. Anyway, praise the Lord. Amen. It's better to just follow the word of the Lord and keep the peace of God. Now, as far as tomorrow is concerned, the Lord even promised us in Philippians 4:6, he even told us this. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing about tomorrow. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So we say that they are not to be afraid of tomorrow. You know, we know who holds tomorrow. So the songwriter said, amen. Praise the Lord. So that's all we need. And it is our sufficiency. Praise the Lord. Now, another fear that people fear, even Christians, some Christians, is fear of death. Should we really be? Not really. The fear of death has tormented mankind since the beginning of time. Even to this day, even a secular man, this man wrote many books and so on. He said the strong man or something die once, they die many times. They die many times, you know. So anyway, what is death to the child of God? Anyway, so the Bible says we don't have to do that. So we are told in Hebrews 2:14 specifically. The Bible told us in the Hebrews 2:14, and so for the believer, there is no reason to fear death whatsoever. For the Lord Jesus Christ has delivered us from that. That's in Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime fear to bondage. A bondage, they were fearing death and so on. What is in a bondage, you know? But God has broken that bondage and let's receive the liberty, the glorious liberty of the children of God that Christ has given unto every one of us. The Bible says that death itself is an enemy. It's an enemy. We shall be destroyed. So why shall that which is going to be destroyed? 1 Corinthians, the one that had it has been destroyed, meaning the devil. Death itself shall be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says so. The last enemy that shall be destroyed, the Bible says, is death. And in 1 Corinthians 15:55, the Bible just draw it out like that. Oh death, where is that sting? Oh grave, where is that victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth all the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible has this to say, 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Can you see now? So what is the child of God being afraid of, you know? Not really. Now let's pick another fear that grips people, mankind, and even Christians, the fear of man. Some people fear of man. And Bible talks about it too. The fear of man can be paralyzing, really. To the child of God, the word of God deliver us from the fear of man. Proverbs 29 says so.
verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the law shall be saved. Amen?
At the fear of man, that's right.
But I would say, bringeth a snare, put in bondage, and but whoso putteth his trust in the law, shall be saved. Isaiah 51, talking about the fear of man. 51 of Isaiah verse 12. I, even, am he that comforted you, the Lord said, who art thou, who child of God, that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man, which shall be made as grass, to the point that thou forgettest the law thy maker, that has stretched forth at the heavens, need to tell you it's magnificent now, and lay the foundation of the earth, and has feared continually, see, every day, because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The Bible says, compared to the power of God, amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So the fear of man doesn't belong to a child of God. Any type of fear, really, it doesn't belong to the child of God, idea. David, who has seen many, many experiences, and God likes to write it to us in Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? Who? But who shall I fear? He said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And even when the wicked, even my enemies, he said, and my foes came upon me to beat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, no matter how many people encamp around David and so on, my heart shall not fear. You see that one? My heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Keep on saying that beautiful psalm in there to be confident in the child of God. See? Now, in Hebrews 13:5, I think I read that before. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be conscious with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So, who are you afraid of? So that we may say boldly, in verse 6, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Praise the Lord Jesus. So he is our strength, our protector, and our Lord and our God. Another kind of fear is the fear of failure. Fear of failure. Maybe somebody begins to do something. Maybe, I don't know, it could be anything. So in Proverbs 29 verse 18, where there is no vision, the Bible says the people perish, right? So talking about fear of failure, right? Where there's no vision, the people perish. Now, in our modern language, another way of looking at that verse is that where there's no goal set for necessary achievement, right? I mean, actually have goals set for necessary achievement, So that we can see that verse like that. Where it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. So you don't have goals. You have to have set goals for achievement, right? Now, talking about goals, in setting goals, it is easy to become overly concerned with the possibility of failure. When I set your goals, right, more often than not, people become so concerned, necessarily concerned by the possibility of failure, fear of failure. When the fear of failure takes over, what happens? It seriously hinders God's plan for one's life. When you let fear of failure dominate you, then begin to hinder, God's plan for your life. Don't do it. Again, the word of God comes to the aid of the child of God to overcome this kind of fear too, if you will cast down the fear of failure by taking hold of God's specific promises for your situation, you will never fail. Amen? Praise the Lord. You will never fail. God guarantees it and so on that, Now, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Yes, through our Lord Jesus Christ, you can always triumph over everything, over all things, In Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors, towards the end of that verse. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So with this kind of scripture and promises, so where is the need for fear or failure? Where is it? Nothing exists for a child of God. And even we are told in the life of Joshua, here was a man, he was a minister to Moses, was Moses' minister. Just like Elisha was a minister and poured water in the hand of Elijah, so was this man. He had been staying in the background all his life, very humble a person and so on. This Joshua man, very humble and so on. He has seen what Moses went through. How the people, you know, begin to, what the people did to him. Every little thing that they encountered, they blamed on Moses, right? You know, and as if it was the cause of their problem and so on, when they were trying to help them. And all of his study, he now had to lead the army. He had to become the captain of the army, you know, of Israel, at the passing of Moses. And God took him out of this thing. He needed encouragement, right? So here's what God told him. You know, it's a new thing for him. It's a new office for him, right? You know, and he never wear that shoe before. So when you get to a place where you haven't done anything before, you don't enter as afraid or failure. And the Lord encouraged him. Here's what the Lord said in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law, that's the word of God, right? Shall not depart out of your mouth. Confess the word of God in your situation. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9 says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. The Lord says so. You haven't done this before, that's right. Be not afraid, I'm with you. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So, no need for fear of failure in whatever thing the Lord is in our heart to do, or in your goal setting. When you have set your goal, you commit your way unto the Lord, and then you have your goal set before you. Don't be afraid of failure. The Lord is with you. He's encouraging you. You know, and some of that, you know. One other kind of fear is this, and it's common too, the fear of rejection. Fear of rejection, you know. And many people in the Bible experience this, fear of rejection. You know, man will always be man, right? Whether it is in the Bible days or today and some of that, you know, man is man anytime. They all do the same thing and so. Even the Lord himself experiences. Let's talk about it now. Fear of rejection. But the Lord wasn't afraid, but he experienced rejection. If it was prophesied of the Lord, that he'd be rejected. Isaiah 53 verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. Prophecy even said before he even came that he'd be rejected. And a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. And when he came on the scene, share the scriptures, he said. He had to do according to the scriptures, right? In John 1:11. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Rejection. He was prophesied to be that as well, huh? Rejection. So anyway, but the Lord wasn't afraid of that, but to show us an example of how to handle rejection, right? That was it was an example, right, to us in all things, right? So anyway, just in the same way that he was tempted in all ways, you and I can be tempted, but he didn't commit a single sin. If any of you can accuse me of sin, let him come out of here. Not even the Pharisees could say you have done anything wrong, right? Praise the Lord. For our example, he did all those things and so on. Anyway, so in Luke 17:25, the Lord himself, but first, he is talking to them now, must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. He was telling them what the prophet wrote about him, you know. I know, this generation. Now, see, here is how the Lord added that kind of a thing in John 16:32. Now, here is the thing that he is teaching you and I. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, it's now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and ye shall leave me alone. Here, what he's teaching you and I here. And yet I am not alone, amen? Because the Father is with me, amen? So people reject you, so what? You know, the Lord is with you. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. The way, you know, the Lord was rejected and so on, but he taught us a lesson of how to handle rejection, you know. Now, David was rejected, right? In Psalm 102, in many, many instances, Psalm 102 verse 6. There I heard what he said. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness, he said. I'm like an owl of the desert. Verse 7 says, I wash and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Many of the time, David experienced rejection, you know, and he went through all those things and so on, and you know, so when you go through such a thing or experience it and so on, just take it in a godly manner, follow the scriptures and so on. A servant is not above his master, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, in Psalm 27, he said the same thing, verse 10. When my father, he painted the worst scenario. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me on the comfort, as the comfort and life. He may reject me, so, okay, let me just please God, right? And so on. And say, God will take me off. So fear of rejection is there, whether we like it or not. And I know, even for the Bible days and so on. How about Paul? Paul, the great apostle and so on. Rejection and so on. But they handle it well. I want to follow them who through faith, follow them who through faith obtain the promises, right? Didn't let the fear of rejection stop them from what they want to do, right? They keep on doing what God showed them to do. 2 Timothy 4:11. Only look, it's with me. See? You know, Paul suffering rejection. In the same chapter of of 2 Timothy 4, verse 16, he made it plain. At my first answer, no man stood with me at all, but all men forsook me. Rejection. See? I pray God. He won't pray for them. Praise the Lord. It wasn't bad, you know. He won't pray for them. So anyway, so we can see many how we can handle this thing. And it's better to know that the Lord is with us. Amen? The Lord say, I'm not alone. Say, the Father is with me. The same. That's how we handle rejection. Whatever, it could be your place of work. It could be any place, you know, that men will do that to you and so on. That, you know. Now, Isaiah 49:15. The Lord assuring your heart and my heart now. That is with you all the time, right? Can a woman forget a suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may, the woman will forget, yet will I not forget thee. Amen. So what is the fear of rejection? The Lord is with you. The Lord is with me, right? That's what I need, really, you know. In Luke 6:22, blessed are ye when men hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, see, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. The Bible says you are blessed, you know. And then back to Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So no matter where you go, may the Lord is with you. John 6:37, all that the Father has given me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So the Lord knows has you in his hand. If I have it in the palm of his hand, the Bible says we are passing the palm of his hand, and nobody can pluck us out of his hand. Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Look at the 6th verse. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. You have been accepted of the Lord, amen? Into the beloved. Praise the Lord. Who is man to reject me that I'm going to be worrying myself? Praise the Lord. God say, I'm accepted in the beloved. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's more than enough. You know? So, what a blessing that is to know that the King of Kings, sir, and the Lord of Lords said, he will in no wise cast me or you out, and we are always accessible unto him. So if the God of heaven accepts you, what wisdom is there to fear the rejection of man? You know, for even for one moment, what need is there? What wisdom is in that? You know, none at all. So if and when you find yourself in such a situation, take courage for all the scriptures. And cast off the painful fear of rejection. It has no more power over you at all. As you get a hold of the word of God and you discern the Lord's presence, it doesn't go, it doesn't come. Praise the Lord. He is with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's talk about one or two more. There are so many fears, all kinds of fears. There are so many of them. There is one called hypochondria. what that? Hypochondria, the fear of sickness. Hypochondria is the fear of sickness. Well, hypochondria, the fear of sickness, is a favorite tool of the devil, really. You know, he likes to use that. For he knows, if he can plant the fear of sickness in you, he can cause that sickness to overtake you. Even though you are in good health, it will bring all kind of falsehood and so on to persuade you that maybe you feel something, it will blow it out of proportion, you know, and it's a dire a father of lies, right, and so on, you know. And we know what happened to Job, like we said before, what happened to Job is because, you know, so he said, what I greatly fear, right, you know, he said, come upon him and so on, that, you know, so fear of sickness, you know, Satan, if you permit it, then you can even make it to happen to one. So one shouldn't let him do that to us and so on. So the fear of sickness has immobilized millions of people. So you should cast it down at the very first hint of its appearance. That kind of fear, or any kind of fear really, you know. So this can be done by being fully aware of God's health protection. And let's read about two or three of God's health protection for you and I. Exodus back in the Old Testament, 23 of Exodus 25. Ah, you shall serve the Lord your God, the Bible promised you. It's good in the day of Moses, and it's good today. And he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you, the promise of God. We are told that all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yea and they are amen to the glory of God. So it's valid today as it was in the day of Moses. In Psalm 105, verse 43. And he brought them forth, and he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. These are the things Satan, we should be saying to ourselves, claiming our redemptive rights through the fear of sickness that, you know, to come to us in any form or shape and so on. We reply by the word of God. It is written. Matthew 8:17 tells us that himself, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us that who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. In fact, he gave us a whole Psalm 91, as a defense, you know, that even no matter pestilence is walking in darkness, we shall not be afraid of those, because we are there in the secret place of the Most High, not the shadow of the Almighty. That's how we should be all the time, right? And the Bible says that, so 1,000 will fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, he shall not come nigh unto us. God's immunity for his people. So no need to be afraid of sickness, or Satan trying to bring any kind of a fear into our hearts about sickness and things like that. You know, we have the word of God. Now, the last one I want to talk about this morning is the fear of insufficiency. The fear of insufficiency. Now, the world's economic system controls most of the population through shortages. So, you know, that's how the world works. The economy of the world will control the populace through shortages, they call it, and so on. Well, the value of everything in this world is measured according to its availability. If we are seeing it right now, the value. Now, when there is no more, you go to the grocery store. When there is not more of it, the value will go up, right? Have to pay more, right? So that's how the world works, right? You know, and some of that, you know. So as long as the takers are in possession of the majority of this world's goods, it will always appear there is not enough. It will make it to appear as if there is not enough. But the reality is this. There is not true shortage at all. The shortage they are having here in this war is greed-driven shortage. See? God knows how many people will be on this planet, right? He knows when he created the world. And would we make sure that it is lawful for all of us that it will be on this earth? He did. So what we call shortages are, you know, are we call greed-driven shortage. Man's in humanity to man, greediness, that what is rich and so on, the nature of the devil and so on, and that what is happening in the world. So we should not be afraid of insufficiency as God's children. So the fear of insufficiency, with its clipping effect, is always present with mankind because of this deception, such a deception, greed driven shortage. It's what it is, and so on. So when present in a believer, this kind of fear, one of the effects of this fear is usually the tendency to stop them from giving to God. See, they will think they don't have sufficiency, right? Or they're going to run out. So they stop giving to God, or they are discouraged from giving to God, or they have a tendency of not giving enough to God anymore because of fear of insufficiency, but not to the soul. So anyway, because the fear of insufficiency will make it very difficult for believers to give properly, and we should not get caught into that snare of the devil and so on. So one can examine this fear of insufficiency from one's life by turning to the truth of God's word. What said the scripture concerning these things, as well as you know, concerning abundance. Even in John 10:10, one of the reasons why the Lord came to this world is that, "I'm come that they might have life," he said, "and that they might have it more abundantly." In 2 Peter 1:3, "Why the child of God need not fear insufficiency." You know, we have a whole lot of scripture that one can be talking about. Let's speak about two or three of them and we close from here. Now it says, 2 Peter 1:3, "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." You see that? He has done it for you and I. Whether we are feeling find it or not, it doesn't make a difference, but he has done his part, godliness, "through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue." So we must never let Satan's lie of shortage fill our heart with this fear. Don't permit it. How do you do it? Guard your mind with the word of God, you know. Guard the scat of your mind with the word of God. Say what God has said about what he has done for you and me, you know. Instead of that, we must focus our attention on God's promise to give us abundance and everything we need for life and godliness. In Romans 8:32, we are told, which I've read it before, I just know they put it here again unknowingly, "He that fear not his own son, but deliver him up," you know, "for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" I always like when the Bible says all, when they put the word all, I always like it. So nothing is left out. So whatever I need is in the provision of God, is among all things, right? What a powerful scripture that is, and so on. So that we know the mind of God. So we cannot be deceived again. So what God say we do for his people. All things, say we freely, I don't have to do anything. Jesus paid for it all. Know ye not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? How though he was rich, the creator of all the universes, nothing was made which was made by him, all things were made by him. He left all those things in glory, and he came here, took my poverty and took yours and so on, as you know. So what shall he not freely give unto us then? So this kind of scripture will destroy the fear of insufficiency in the life of the Christian. Now, even in the Old Testament, we are told many scriptures, in Psalm 37 verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily," without any doubt, God talking, "and verily thou shalt be fed." You know, "delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Can God lie? That's one thing God can never do. He said, "I cannot lie." God can never lie. God does not that he should lie. Philippians 4:19, "God shall supply all your needs." I will add the word all in the Bible, right? "All your needs, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We are man faith, or we are child of God faith, got to do it himself and so on, by Christ Jesus. You know, he make a way for you, you know, any place, anytime, anywhere. Now, so we just want to thank God this morning. So we have to cast out all fear, right? Never allow fear, in summary, never allow fear of any kind to torment your mind. I mean, it's not wise to put yourself in that kind of situation. If any fear tries to overtake you, immediately cast it down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. Keep fear from returning by quoting the scriptures, God's promises concerning your need and your want, you know. Above all, you must remember that fear never came from God. That's how we began from, right? 2 Timothy 1:7, right? Now, and Isaiah 41:13 says this, you know. For the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand. The Lord says, say unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, verse 14 says, thou one Jacob, or whoever is child of God, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, say the Lord, and the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now I finish with only one, there should be only one kind of fear in our life. One kind of fear, and it's a good fear. The only fear that is good is this. It says that in the scripture. There is only one fear that is good, and it's a necessity for all men, really. That is the attitude of faith. And the possession of this one fear will drive out all the other kind of fear. Amen? Praise the Lord. Where it is? Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That is the only fear you should have. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The wisest man of his own time wrote by divine inspiration. And when you have the fear of the Lord, then it will drive out the other fears. Even David, his father, wrote by in Psalm 111, in verse 10, you know, by the Holy Spirit also. The same thing, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we are saying from the scripture, if one can take a whole day and series, you know, of this kind of thing to destroy the power of fear, which is not the fear of God in the life of a child of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the light that comes out of your word. The entrance to your life, you give us light. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and light to our path. Lord, we thank you, Lord, we worship you for not leaving us in darkness, you know, of the, you know, of the tricks of the devil, the snares of the fowler. Lord, because we follow you, Lord, never shall we walk in darkness. So we thank you for the time that spent in the word this morning. As we go, Lord God, let us help ourselves to allow ourselves to meditate upon these things, and let the Holy Ghost expand them to us, bearing witness that this is the true word of God, and as deliverance, and the Lord will take mastery over these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. The Bible says, when you allow our converted, stretching out our brethren, as the Lord, as we get mastery over these things, wherever we go to be, sons of encouragement, Lord, to all the other believers, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.